Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th of June, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, I am delighted to say that you are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll be bringing you here. You got to get on.
Yeah, I got to do it like old times, and I'm Rob Linton.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Rob Linton. Come on, I back off from the mic and everything. And we're going to be bringing you all the stuff we used to and a whole bunch more. We've got two solid hours here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And let me start out this historic broadcast and this entire history, this series of broadcasts, by saying member-supported Jazz 90.1. What that means
is... key.
That Rob and the folks here at Jazz 90.1 have taken a chance on us. There will be no commercials. There will be a couple of underwriting credits. So any of you who are listening who actually own your own companies, you should probably give Laurel Ann a call at the station and get yourself as an underwriter. And for everybody else, feel free to become a member because this is member-supported radio. It is, there are no commercials. We assume... and hope and beg and pray that you folks will join us as members. I'm a member.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for my cap. I'll be wearing my cap once.
Well, I just Lori just sent me signed me up, and I got the T-shirt coming.
Nice.
Yes, she got me extra large.
Yeah, I got the cap extra because my head is extra large. So we're going to be taking your phone calls at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415. Now you can get both of those numbers either at jazz901.org or, of course, at soundbites.org. We'll be taking calls throughout the day. Now, this is going to be ugly radio. Yeah.
You can listen live also at Jazz.
You can also listen live at Jazz 90.1. It is going to be ugly radio because we are, as near as I can see, the very first call-in show that Jazz 90.1 has ever had.
It's a unique situation. We've never had a talk show on this radio station before, and we're going to give it a try, and it's going to work. We're confident, and it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. And I know you guys are, too.
Yeah, I've had fun. I'm not sure this is going to be it.
Now, I think I'm not really positive, but I think Dave may already have the inaugural call.
I've got our
call.
First call. Are you ready for this one, guys?
I don't know. Am I?
We got Jim from Atlanta, Georgia.
Nice.
Go ahead, Jim.
Jim,
hey,
welcome.
Hey, first of all, welcome to your new home. Glad you're back on the air.
Thank you. We're very delighted to be here at Member Supported, Jazz 90.1.
All right. Got a question.
We'll try to give an answer, since you called all the way from Atlanta.
Well,
you're listening on the stream.
And I'm originally from Rochester, and I've been following your show, listening for years.
Thank you.
I have a Dell Inspiron 700, and I'd like to partition the hard drive, and I'm really not sure how to do it, because right now I just have just a C drive on this thing, and I'd like to get it so I can have C, D, E, F, G drive so I can put all my operating system in one area and all the rest of the stuff in other areas. And can I do that without buying a separate program, or do I need to – what do I need to do to
well,
be
what
able
is it
to
you're trying yeah. to accomplish with this?
Okay, I was listening to another tech show yesterday.
Yeah.
And the guy said, you don't want to have everything in one place because It'll slow down the computer and this and that.
Right, and so, by partitioning your hard drive, you're going to make it slower.
Yeah.
Second hard drive is the way to do it.
Plus, once that really doesn't buy you much because you're putting your eggs still all in that one basket. Yeah. If that hard drive goes south on you...
Here's the thing, Jim. What I think they were talking about was when you have multiple hard drives...
Physical hard drives.
You can run more than one drive simultaneously. So while you're swapping in and out to the temp area on the C drive, you can be loading files or saving files to D or E or whatever. Okay. But when they're all on a single drive, you don't gain anything. And in fact, by partitioning, you lose because it actually slows it down a little bit.
Because it has to keep jumping back and forth on the same drive between the OS and the program and the data.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
Now, the Inspiron 700 is a laptop, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're really never going to get as depends on the. I haven't looked at a 700.
Yeah. Very few laptops can take a second hard drive. Sometimes you can remove the optical drive and put a second hard drive in it.
Right.
Okay.
But beyond that, no. At this point, my suggestion would be, and you certainly it doesn't help you any when it comes to, backing things up and having you know some sort of secure. Data,
right, if that
know,
one hard drive fails, you still lose everything.
Right.
I got you. Yep.
My suggestion at this point is make sure you're backing up your data regularly, don't worry about the speed of the drive itself because you're really not going to be able to make a huge change in that.
Okay. Yeah, I have an external, the 1 terabyte external thing that I keep throwing stuff on, so...
Yeah, so that's good. So if that when that internal drive fails, will have a second copy of everything on the external drive.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, in desktop models where you can put multiple hard drives inside the machine, you can put your system and applications, say, on the C drive. You can put your data on a D drive, on a separate hard drive. You could put your swap file on another drive yet. And that can speed it up with multiple hard drives in a single computer. The other thing, too, is that modern computers are so fast anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to notice
a speed. 700 is not really a modern computer.
That's true.
No, I know. I need a new one. Okay, what do you recommend? Should I go with another Dell, or do you think I should jump the river and get a Mac?
Well, there are three of us here, so you'll get four different answers.
He just got echoey.
Here's the thing. You've already got a major investment in your hardware. So that's part of it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And in your software, more importantly.
Yep.
Secondly, who is your support group going to be? You know, if you don't know any support people for Macs, really getting a Mac leaves you in a little island all by yourself.
You become the support person.
Macs are wonderful machines, but... unless you are really the guru, you really kind of need to have somebody else help you.
Although Atlanta's a big enough town, there's at least a user group.
Yes. And that's what I was about to suggest. What you want to do is check around with various folks, talk to some of the computer dealers in your area, find out about user groups, and take some time. Go to a PC group, go to a Mac group, go to a Linux group. Talk to the people there, see who you feel comfortable with, see what you like, and then make your decision. Because this is something you're going to have to live with for, you've had this 700 for how many years?
Since 2005.
Right.
There are four corporate Apple retail stores in the Atlanta area, five if you count Birmingham.
All right, tell you what, let's cut him off, because I want to try to see if we can go to one more caller before we go to the next break.
Well, it's also quickly, there's an Atlanta, New York, down near Wayland and Dansville.
Okay, thanks for that.
Yeah, I'll drive up. Thanks a lot, you guys. You have a great show, and really glad to hear you back on.
Thank you. And remember, you were our first caller on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, we got to hold on one moment while I try to do this magic one more time before we go into it.
See, I'll explain after the break how ugly this actually gets in terms of the phone, but this place is wired for a school. Right. And so what you're actually looking at here is a phone system that rings everywhere. So if you're on the line and the phone is just ringing and ringing and ringing, that's what it does. So if you hang on, eventually, I guess we'll get to you.
Or if a teacher in that classroom happens to answer the phone.
We've got Zach from Rochester. Zach.
Yes, hi.
Welcome. What's your question?
I have a very useful free utility called Glary Utilities. And one thing it offers is to defragment my registry. Now, I know you guys caution about screwing around with the registry in most cases, but is defragmenting the registry to improve importance, improve efficiency, a safe thing to do?
The one thing that I recommend, which will keep the registry very clean, is a program called Revo. If you use Revo to uninstall programs, that will clean the stuff out of the registry. That is the biggest problem with most Windows programs. When you go to uninstall them, it does a bad job of removing all the stuff in the registry. That's why the registry gets so mucked up. So if you use a product like Revo, which is free, you can remove the programs. It'll also get rid of the entries on your hard drive and all the entries in your registry. And I highly recommend that than playing around with some other registry program.
Yeah, there's a lot of registry cleaners. Yeah. Some of them are okay. Some of them are bad. We haven't looked at this one. As Glarysoft, it looks like, is the company.
Right, and it's got a registry cleaner, but also a registry defragmenter, which I hadn't seen before and I didn't really know much about.
Really, that's if you have something that the registry is just a file. So if you have something that defrags your system anyway, the registry will be defragmented.
I see.
So I think that's just, hey, we could throw this in as a checkpoint.
Okay.
A feature on the feature list.
Right. So I wouldn't get that excited about the product itself, I'm afraid.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Sure.
All right, bye.
Have fun.
Thanks.
All right.
Yay, that's two. Two for two.
Good for you. The phone situation here, really, like I said, we are the very first call-in show that member-supported Jazz 90.1 has ever had. I'll keep hitting that member-supported until you guys get the idea. And what that entails is we're really on the Greece Central School District phone system. And so things get routed in odd places. So there's no point where the system, I guess if we had like 402 phone calls or whatever the number is, it would eventually say the lines are full. But until then, it routes it all over the place.
To Mrs. Smith's science room.
Right, exactly. Every classroom rings, every place else rings. So we can route them all back, but it takes a moment for Dave to do that. There's eight or nine definite gyrations he has to go to. We have a series of chicken entrails lined up for him to read, and it's there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. So if you in fact call in and you find that the phone just rings and rings and rings, that's what it's supposed to do. So far,
we're working.
You
know,
when enough of you call in with your membership support and we can afford our own phone system, that will change. But until then, this is where we all stand. It's a big, thrilling whole thing that's going on, and we're just very excited to be here. Rob has moved heaven and earth and the Greece Central School District to get us on the air, so I'm both thrilled and delighted, and we have all thanks to Mr. Rob Linton for doing this.
Plus we also have the opportunity, which, you know, is really great here, too, is maybe down the road to get out and be, you know, see us at more other things, you know, venues and that type of stuff, because Jazz 90.1 is at a number of, like, the Cornhill, Park Ave, and all those others. So who knows where we might pop up if, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise.
That's exactly right, and that'll take some some doing as well, but that is our hope. If I got time to talk about the news for a moment,
Tell you what, we gotta go to a break. Why don't we take the break and then?
And then we'll come back and talk about the news and what's going on at our website. And
got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 800-790-0415 or online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you become a member or renew your membership to Jazz 90.1, you receive your Jazz 90.1 member card, our thanks, and more. Because with your Jazz 90.1 member card, you qualify for discounts at many fine member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bop Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations, and Small World Bakery. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299 and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 welcomes our newest member card business, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Before we go back to the phones or whatever, we'll talk a little bit about the news. This week's big story is Hulu. All great free things can't last. For those of you who don't know, Hulu is a site, Hulu.com, H-U-L-U.com. And right now you can get all kinds of movies and television shows and all kinds of other stuff on Hulu. All great free things can't last forever, however, especially when the entertainment industry is involved. What's affected this time is Hulu.com, the most popular content streaming service online, and where millions of users watch full TV episodes of their favorite shows. Hulu may soon begin charging subscription fees for some of their online content. For all of us who know Hulu, love it. One of the best things about Hulu is that it's free of charge with limited amounts of advertising. However, when limited advertising is involved, more money needs to be had, at least according to Jonathan Miller of News Corp. News Corp, the parent company of Fox, owns huge portions of Hulu. When Miller was asked if Hulu would begin charging for online content during an interview with Daily Finance, he said the answer could be yes. He went on to say that he doesn't see why over time that shouldn't happen. While Miller did not directly come out and state that they would be charging for content, he just suggests that it's definitely a possibility. The move to begin charging users for content would be a decision that the Hulu board would have to make as a whole, including News Corp and Fox. Other large shareholders include Disney and NBC Universal. And as we know, when Disney gets involved, money has to happen. It's very likely that the Hulu pay-per-view or Hulu subscriptions of some kind is definitely on the horizon, which is a bit unfortunate. Perhaps Hulu could add a few more advertisements in exchange for continuing to offer free content and then have a subscription if you don't want ads. But at any rate, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is would you pay for Hulu videos? The choices are absolutely, never, oh, great, paying for videos and a bandwidth cap, and Hulu? So far, we've got 46 votes, and never is the number one choice, followed closely by, oh, great, paying for videos and a bad cap. And, of course, once you have voted, I know you have more to say. So your best bet thereafter is to take a look at that little yellow box underneath and click on Give Us Your Opinion. That will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com. Ding.
You forgot to get the bell. I'll get the bell. Rob forgot to get the bell. Where you can leave your...
I didn't have that one in the board. Sorry.
That's not your fault. I know who to blame. His name is Rob Linton. And you can leave your opinion there. Take a look at what I do. I do a newsletter and forums, and you can search everything I've written. It's well worth $15 a year and probably more, but that's all I'm selling it for. So join us there. Then come on back to Soundbites and check out what we're doing on the... on the system. Oh, the other thing, this is the other cool thing about the Soundbites website. Those of you who frequent the site regularly will notice that we have a new tab, and that tab is for the calendar. You can take a look at our calendar, and what we'll have is all of our shows, of course. Now, what's interesting is I can add you to that calendar. If you're the officer of a computer club, email calendar at soundbites.org and give us some form of proof, you know, a link to the newsletter that has your name on it or the club or whatever. And it doesn't have to be in Rochester. Those of you listening from, oh, let's say Atlanta, Georgia, if you're part of a group, you can get on this list as well. So just send me an email. I'll get you a sign on, and you'll be able to edit the calendar as well so that you can put on your own stuff to the calendar. It's a pretty neat deal, and I'm actually pretty excited about it. So you can also see when Soundbites is on, and it's pretty cool about that. It's actually a Google map, so it's a Google calendar. So when you actually go to it, if you like click on noon for today, it actually brings up a thing that says Soundbites on Jazz 90.1 FM, WGMC FM 90.1, and it actually, you can click on it and see a Google map.
Cool.
Of where we are. It's pretty cool. So, and if you have your own Google calendar, you can copy that to your calendar as well, and it's a very cool thing. So, just one more new service we're providing on the Soundbites site. So join us on soundbites.org. And check out our forums and everything else that we do. We're also online in the chat. Oh, I haven't started my chat. See, we're all screwed up today.
Well, folks have to bear with us. I mean, this is the way it's going to be for the next couple of weeks as we're adjusting things, getting used to things. I mean, I'm fumbling over here with the board.
Right.
A lot going on.
It's going to be, like I said, today is ugly radio. It's that's our job, to do ugly radio today. Yeah. And I think we're doing a darn good job.
We're doing it stellar.
At doing ugly radio. So also the phone number is there, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, as Jim from Atlanta was, it's 800-790-0415. So we've got... I have no idea. This is the other thing. We have no idea how many people are on the line.
I've got another caller lined up. Yeah, until
you
got a
blinky light there.
Yeah, I've got another caller on the line. Matter of fact, this is a longtime listener.
All right.
Let's have Linda from Rochester on.
Linda.
Hey, guys. I'm glad you're back. Boy, talk about withdrawal.
And no kidding. How are you?
Oh, you know me. I've been calling for years. Dave knows me.
I know.
Isn't it from Greece?
Yep.
I said, how are you, not who are you.
Oh, sorry. I'm fantastic. I'm glad you guys are back.
Thank you. What's your question, Linda?
Okay, my question is, I don't know if Steve can answer this. I have an iTouch, and I have it set up with my Wi-Fi. I watch YouTube a lot, and for some reason, I'll start the YouTube video. It's already buffered, and it stops. Then I hit the play button again. It stops and starts. Now, I've heard people tell me that I've got to adjust my Wi-Fi. Now, is that true? I don't know, because my friend has the same thing, and he has no problem. He has an iTouch, and he has no problems.
Are you using the YouTube website or the YouTube application?
I'm using the YouTube application on my iTouch.
Yeah, that shouldn't be an issue. Just regular things. Make sure you're connected to your Wi-Fi hotspot and not accidentally a neighbor's.
I put in my password and everything, so it's just mine.
Yeah, this does seem to be a topic that's being discussed a lot inside the Apple news groups. I don't see any quick answer for it. One of the basic troubleshooting tips on the iPod is erase and restore it, and that reinstalls the latest application software and reinstalls the applications. That can sometimes cause...
Without wiping out your music?
Well, it erases it from the iPod, but then it resyncs it from your computer.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I have gone and I've had five different iTouches because I thought maybe it was something with the machine, and it's done it on every single one.
How many bars are you getting in the Wi-Fi indicator?
Oh, full.
Full Wi-Fi, yeah.
Yes. I mean, I have no problem with anything else. I can access anything else. It's just the YouTube videos that I like to watch. I mean, you know, I watch maybe 5 seconds and it'll stop. Then I watch five more, you know.
Linda, two things. First, how much space do you have left on your iPod?
Yeah, could be free space issue.
That's a good question.
Thank you. If you don't have a lot of space left on your iPod, it can't buffer the video.
Okay, well, right now I have...
Well, but my point is, you should take a look at that. You don't need to tell me.
No, I have a 16 gig, and maybe I've got only 13 used. So I've still got 3 gigs left.
Yeah, but be sure you do. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, take a look in the application and see if there is some form of... some place you can change the buffer size. It may well be that you don't have the buffer set up high enough.
I haven't got the finished idea of where I would check that.
Yeah, Steve's going to look that up, and he'll mention it later in the show. The good news is we've still got an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, I'm taping your show anyway, so anything you say I can go back and listen to.
Good for you. So are we.
Yeah, it would be one of the annoyances is that sometimes application preferences are in the application itself, and sometimes they're in the general preferences tab.
Yeah.
So that's the two places to look to see if there's a buffer setting for that. Another thing to try, too, is reboot your wireless router. Do you have any other wireless computers that do the same?
I have a Mac notebook.
Yes, try that with the YouTube website, see if a similar thing happens. It may not be the iPod, it may be the network, something in your wireless router or something in your network too.
That's a good thought, actually.
You could try running a speed test on your computer. Who's your provider? Well, both Frontier and Time Warner have speed test
options. I've got Roadrunner.
Yeah, and you can check a speed test there. And try it at different times during the day. One of the annoying things about speed tests is you run it twice, you get two different answers.
You're right.
Because it depends on who else is connecting and what's happening between
on Frontier,
you.
Time Warner, that's true, not on Frontier.
Between you and the other end, it can.
If
you do the speed test inside of Frontier or inside of Roadrunner, right. It's a little more accurate.
Yeah. Now, you said to reboot the wireless thing. Now, if I unplug it, would that reboot it? Because I'm not very
Unplug it, wait about 10, 20 seconds, and then plug it back in.
Okay.
Then you're going to have to wait a little bit, up to a minute, before everything finds it again.
Okay.
But that, if there's, do you know who makes your wireless router?
Linksys.
Who?
Linksys.
So it should, everything should be found all over again, and you shouldn't have any trouble.
And you may even want to check if there's been a firmware update to your router. A lot of times companies will release updates that can fix the issues like that.
And your manual will tell you, because all the models are different. I can't tell you 50 different ways to do it. But your manual will tell you how to do an update. Usually it's somewhere in the setup. You browse to it with the web browser, and you're on your way.
I had somebody set this up for me, so,
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys are back.
Thank you so much, Linda. We appreciate it. We're delighted. We're on the air again. This is just very exciting. I have to be honest with you. It's great. One more news item here as we go along. Microsoft is prepping the largest patch Tuesday release of 2009 so far. The June release will feature 10 security bulletins, including bulletins covering critical vulnerabilities affecting Windows and Internet Explorer. Microsoft has 10 security bulletins coming out June 9th, its biggest patch Tuesday release of 2009 so far. Of the bulletins, 6 have the highest rating of critical. 2 of these 6 address remote code execution vulnerabilities in the Windows operating system. The other critical bulletins affect multiple versions of Internet Explorer and Microsoft Word, Excel, and Office. I don't know what the difference is between Word, Excel, and Office, but okay. In addition to the 6 bulletins addressing critical vulnerabilities, Microsoft is pushing out 4 other bulletins, all of which are aimed at fixing issues in the Windows operating system. 3 of the 4 are rated important, while the 4th is classified as moderate. Not mentioned is the direct show vulnerability Microsoft warned users about in May as hackers began to launch attacks. The DirectX vulnerability lies in the way direct show handles supported QuickTime format files. In a blog post, Microsoft officials said, security teams are working hard on the direct show issue but do not have an update yet that is ready for release. Information about workarounds for the flaw can be found, but I would wait. A patch for vulnerability affecting WebDAV is also not on the menu, so if you're using WebDAV, you might want to stop for a while. What did make the cut for Patch Tuesday is an update for Office for Mac and for Microsoft Works, which provides cover for a PowerPoint vulnerability. The Microsoft security bulletins highlight the importance of enterprises having a solid patch management cycle. The large number of vulnerabilities to be patched in June shows that attackers are not slowing down, and the opportunities for them to infiltrate customer networks are increasing. The patches are slated to be released June 9th. This is a series that you really, really don't want to miss because there's a lot of very important fixes for a lot of very wide-open vulnerabilities in this package. All right, it's back to the phones.
And this time we got Bill from Brighton.
Bill, welcome. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Here's my question.
Brighton, New York, or Brighton, England?
Say that again?
Brighton, New York, or Brighton, England?
New York.
Okay. Well, we already hit Atlanta, Georgia. I got to ask.
Hey, we got to push for it.
What's your question?
Sorry to disappoint you. All right. So you have an apartment complex, and you have several buildings, and you want to have something similar to a video camera, a webcam in every building. And be able to monitor the hallways and every building of the complex. Is there a internet web solution, or is it just basically a hardwire thing? Where would you start if you wanted to do something like that?
Well, for that many cameras, you might want to look at a commercial service. But we've been looking at X10. They make some really nice security cameras. They're wireless transmitters, so all you need is power where you plug your camera in, and they can wirelessly transmit to a VCR to record or a computer to watch. The next step up is wireless internet, so that the camera has a web server built in, and then you connect to that camera through the internet. But when you get to the other end and want to be able to watch any of those, say, 50 cameras or record any of those cameras, then you're looking at a fairly big commercial system. I think X10 just had a deal where they had four wireless webcam package and transmitter. Here it is, $270, four wireless webcams. Well, that's X10.com.
Well, like you said, though, Steve, which brings out a good point, though. If you have somebody else do it, that way the work is going to be guaranteed, as opposed to, you know, I run all that wire, and if I'm pulling on that wire and, you know, it's a bad line that I ran. Now right. I got to run a whole new line. That's more time and effort. Yep. Whereas, too bad. It's
well. And actually, we sort of ran into that at our office a while ago. Someone tried to break into our office, and it was more than just kids doing a smash and grab this time. They were a little more organized.
Really?
They cut power, and then they cut phone. No, they cut the phone first. Because when power's lost, the alarm gets called. So they cut the phone lines first, then they cut the power lines, and then tried to break into a window. So suddenly, even video cameras we had running would have been down, except we have two cameras running on laptops with a battery. So we could see when the lights went off in the building, we knew what happened at exactly 1:21 a.m. And the laptop batteries lasted for 3.5 hours running a video camera broadcasting to the internet.
Nice.
Which was pretty cool. But yeah, if you go with a commercial system, then you've got a company behind it. You've got the guarantee that you know it will work, and there's some pretty sophisticated commercial systems out too.
And in addition to that, if you go with the right kind of system, then if somebody does cut the power or cuts the phone, you get a signal going to the alarm company immediately, which will bring.
We did find from our alarm company, they told us for an extra $20 a month, they'd put a cell phone in the alarm system, so if someone cut the phone lines, it could make a cell phone call to activate the alarm.
But yeah, you can do it yourself, Bill. But you should at least look into having someone else do it, because by far, I think the biggest cost really is going to be labor
and the warranty. All those lines. You're going to have a warranty with that system that they're going to guarantee their work for a while, versus you climbing back up on the ladder of a camera. You know, blows out on you.
And you don't want to stinge out on the camera and the mounts and the protective coverings either, because, face it, people are going to want to steal those if they're just naked cameras sitting in the hallway.
And you see on the TV shows all the time, when the guy comes in to rob the bank, first thing he does is spray paint the camera.
Already done. Thanks. Thanks for that.
So is that, are you talking like an ADT or somebody like that, right?
Well, there are a dozen companies. There's a dozen different companies that do that sort of thing. So I would be very careful about.
And there are companies that specialize in putting in camera systems that then you monitor, versus companies that you pay them a monthly fee for them to monitor.
Right. It can be done by yourself, but you may want to at least talk to a couple of three different professional companies, because there will be things you miss.
And this, I'm looking at this X10 ad again, and this looks pretty cool. It's 4 pan, tilt, zoom, daylight, low light security cameras with wireless transmitters, wireless receivers for $270. So that's pretty neat if you want just a few cameras to install yourself.
All right, Bill, we're going to take a quick break. So thank you very much for your call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 800-790-0415 or online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you become a member or renew your membership to Jazz 90.1, you receive your Jazz 90.1 member card, our thanks, and more. Because with your Jazz 90.1 member card, you qualify for discounts at many fine member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bop Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Arondequoit and Gates locations, and Small World Bakery. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299 and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 welcomes our newest member card business, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates.
You feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the club calendar highlights with Joelle Van Buren every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m. Joelle gives you a sample of who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. For a more complete listing of jazz playing in our area, check out the club calendar online at jazz901.org. You'll always know where the jazz is with Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Come on, you've forgotten.
And I'm Rob Linton.
You have completely lost the reflex.
Well, that's what I get for taking a little bit of time off. You know what I'm saying? From where we were before to where we are now. It's so cool to have you guys back.
It's so cool to be back.
You know what I mean?
This is great.
Nothing says good morning on a Saturday or a Sunday like hanging out with you guys. You know what I mean? This is a lot of fun.
Well, and I think being on Saturdays, while it is horribly, horribly bad for my wife and the public market, I think it's good for our listeners because a lot of people used to listen while they were running errands.
Right.
You know, and now they can again.
Well, and the good news is, too, that you don't have to worry about being preempted for sports.
There is
you know,
that.
Unless I broadcast my, polo league or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, I know you have that polo league thing going on. I understand that. Absolutely.
What's that?
School sports.
School sports. No, we don't even do school sports. We're lucky in that regard. We don't have to broadcast school sports or anything like that.
Don't give them an idea.
I know.
don't say a word.
I want to thank everybody, too. I have a chance. You know, we had a lot of support on the website when we made the announcement. We had a lot of people become members of the station. We had a lot of people sending me notes. Absolutely. And I want to thank all those folks who did that. It was a natural fit. And when we all sat down a couple months back and talked about this, it was just like, okay, when do you want to start? And,
that was your first question.
Pretty much. I said, I'll take the salad. When do you want to start? You know, but it's really cool because, you know, we've got a lot of support. And like you say, here we don't have to worry about, you know, when we were at the other place, you know, you had 5, 6, 7 minutes worth of commercials, 2, 3, 4 times an hour. And you don't have to worry about that here, you know. And so it'll be
now we have to
time.
Worry about actually filling 2 hours.
Well, exactly. You guys seem a little like, isn't there more, you know, when we take a break, you know. So, no, it's great to have you guys.
The break starts and it's over.
That's it. That's it. That's all there is, you know. So, again, want to thank everybody for listening and for supporting us and keeping tabs on you guys to see where you're going next and following with you.
Yep, thank you. This is we're very excited to be here. We're thrilled and delighted, and thank you so very much for having the confidence and faith in us to think we might, in fact, be able to do this.
Sure.
And now all we need to do is kind of, and I shouldn't say this because I know a lot of people are listening, but we have to rebuild our audience because a lot of people have lost where we are. I actually got an email today. Whatever happened to you guys? You're not on the air anymore. Well, you know, surprising you should ask because we're starting today.
Yeah.
So
I still get,
you know,
people say, oh, I listened to you every week on the three stations ago.
Yeah, right. You get a lot of that. I still have people who say, yeah, I listen to you every, I watch you every Friday on television. Okay, good. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Bogart there. whatever drugs you're doing, share.
Or time machine you've invented.
That's exactly right. Oh, I've got to read this news item. I have got to. James Coleman of Bristol, England, became the laughingstock of his office and now of the world after he got a black eye while using Twitter on the, did you hear this?
No.
On the go. His humiliation could get so much worse than that. Coleman's story illustrates tidily what so many people hate about the microblogging service, compulsively, narcissistically documenting one's life all too often interferes with leading that life. In Coleman's case, reality literally smacked him upside the head. He was jogging to work and tweeting on his BlackBerry when he cracked his skull against a low-hanging branch,
nice,
according to the Daily Telegraph. One minute I was running along, posting a tweet. The next I was lying on my back on the pavement in agony. The branch came out of nowhere and hit my face hard. Coleman has suffered what the Daily Telegraph is calling Britain's first twingery.
Oh. What?
And we're all now in the lexicon.
We're all twinging now.
Exactly. Oh. So Twitter is bad for your health. I'm going to have a Twitter feed for us if somebody wants to... do that. I haven't set that up yet. Give me a little time. We have it at sound_bites on Twitter, but I haven't set it up here yet, and so give me a little time. But do give us a call. Our numbers are 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Of course, if you're outside the 585 area code, as our very first caller ever was, it's 1-800-790-0415. We are on member-supported Jazz 90.1, so you can either find those phone numbers on jazz901.org or, of course, on soundbites.org, and that's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, and don't forget our poll. Right now, we have 50 people who have voted so far in the poll. And of course, it's Would You Pay for Hulu Video? So feel free to join in on that. We're looking forward to it. All the information is on our homepage, including the live online chat with IRC. And it's easy enough to join in and do stuff. So
backing up half a second, there's an app. There's an app for that. There's an iPhone app for emailing, and what it does is it reads the camera that points the other way and shows you a live video feed of where you're going while you're looking at the screen while you're emailing.
That's useful.
And it's called Email and Walk.
Yeah, very nice.
So
now they need Twitter and Walk.
Yep.
Well, that's still remarkable, though. Our first caller being a long-distance one.
Yeah.
I still can't get over that.
And we have another caller.
Yep. We actually have Hugh from, he's in Batavia, but he's living in Greece.
All right, Hugh.
Hey, it's great to hear you guys back on the air again. My kudos to all of you.
Thank you so much.
Sorely missed for a long period of time.
Thank you. The kudos go to Rob Linton, who got us on the air. Thank you.
There you go. Listen, long-time listener, call in once in a while, but Nick, I miss you at the bulk market.
Thank you. I wasn't there today.
You are a presence. Anyway, got my home computer. It's probably 3 or 4 years old. It's running XP Home on it, and it's been a great, fantastic computer. It's got 120 gig hard drive, plenty of space. However, in the past week, I've developed an issue where when I go to open Outlook on Microsoft Office, you know, the email server on there,
yep,
that I have to use for my work, it freezes the computer up. Worked fine up until about a week ago, and I haven't installed or uninstalled anything. I look at Windows Task Manager, and whenever I use any other program like Word, Excel, any other kind of application, you'll see where the CPU usage and the PF usage jumps up and down a little bit, but when I use the Outlook program, it just pegs the CPU usage at 100, and the computer won't do anything. It just won't shut off. It won't do anything. I have to manually turn the power switch off on the back of the case in order to get it to start again. Any ideas?
Is this the full Outlook or Outlook Express?
No, no, it's full Outlook full program. Outlook, okay. I've got it from work. It's a licensed copy. Everything's kosher with it, so...
What?
It just started about a week ago, and I'm like, you know, I tried everything I know.
Yeah, what that usually means is there's something corrupted in your Outlook database. Okay. You can try using the inbox repair tool, which you can't get to if Outlook won't open. So
now,
we talked about that in Second Life a couple of there's a way to run it from the command line. Let me find it again. But so you run the inbox repair tool. It may even be a control panel. You run the inbox repair tool, and it can try to recover any damage from that possibly corrupted database.
Okay, and can I run that from the command line?
Yeah, it's a file called scanpst.exe.
Pardon me, scan?
Scanpst.exe, because PST is the database file.
Okay, .exe.
Yeah.
All right, I'll try that. I was kind of hoping not to have to uninstall it and reinstall it because I've got a ton of email that I should have gone through and I haven't. So,
if it's business email, do you know if you're running POP or IMAP or Exchange even?
No, it's a POP.
Okay, yeah, because most larger companies will use Exchange or IMAP, so all the mail is on the server, so it doesn't matter what you do with your local client. In that case, you could delete the database and just make a new one.
Right, but in this case,
if all your
mail is on your machine,
right.
The main thing you can do, oh, dear.
Yeah.
I don't know there's anything you can do. Certainly, I would back up that PST file before I start mucking about with it. The theory is it is an inbox repair tool rather than an inbox destroy tool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at least back the thing up and try it.
Yeah.
No promises, but...
And one of the other... usual tricks is to remove that PST, so then when you launch Outlook, it thinks it's a brand new install, and then try importing the data from that old PST. And you may be able to import up to wherever the corruption is.
Right. Import everything but the last half dozen messages.
No, I got you. It's just, you know, it's a thing through work, and it's worked fine, and, you know, they've got more... bells and whistles on their, you know, security.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Shouldn't one of your work technicians be dealing with this?
Well, I tried, and they said it was a problem with my computer, and I had to resolve it, you know, so.
Oh, man, I wish I could use that excuse.
So, you know, hopefully my
I'm sorry to hell with you. It's your problem.
Yeah.
Why can't I do that at work? I got to write some new procedures when I get in on Monday.
Well,
telling you that right
all
now.
Your fault. Clearly all your fault. Not writing the correct procedures.
I think it's time to come visit one of you guys to buy my kids their own laptop. So
there you go.
What's it's P as in Paul, S as in Sam, T as in Thomas, right?
Right.
Okay, PST.exe. All
right. Right.
You guys are fantastic.
PST short for post, right? Because it's part of the post office. So it's PST short for post.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
All righty. Take it easy.
All right, thanks. That's it's your problem. You deal with it. Hugh, you've just opened my eyes to a whole new...
The server's running fine. Go away.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem. Take a hike. Very nice. I like that. I don't know where that guy works, but they need me to work there as their manager. That would be fun. Excuse me. Oh, Dave's hot on the phones today. We have another caller. Who we got?
Mike from Rochester.
Mike.
Hey. I'm glad to hear you guys are back.
Thanks, me too.
All right. Now, and I saw you on Second Life. That was a nice show also last night.
Good.
I got an HP Pavilion laptop that won't turn on at all. And I'm wondering, is it the battery or the power supply or power, probably both?
Most likely the power supply. When you turn it on, does the fan in the back where the power supply is, does it even, you see the fan even turn?
Oh, no, I didn't even...
May not be able to see the fan. One of the problems, especially with laptops, is that the what's called the DC inboard, where you connect the power cord to the back of the laptop, that tends to wear out over time of plugging and unplugging, so then it stops charging. Yeah, then it stops charging your battery. So then the battery's dead, the AC's not coming in. Sometimes if you wiggle that AC or a DC connector... you can see the power light come on enough to let you know that, yeah, that connector's bad. And then it depends on the model laptop on how easy that is to replace.
Well, there's a, you know, like there's a, when you plug in the cord into the laptop, there's a blue ring right around that connector. Now, that lights up.
It does light up.
So that says the computer's getting power in.
Yeah.
If you remove the battery, does it work?
I tried that, too. Nope. It won't turn on without the battery. It won't turn on with the battery.
It's either the power supply right. or a motherboard connection, and
probably
that's all that's left.
The motherboard connection, yeah. It's getting the sensor, but, you know, it's not...
If you're really, really lucky, it's the power switch. But no one's that lucky.
But yeah, but he's getting a light on the, you know, on the end to indicate that he is going on power. So that kind of tells me I think he might have a bad motherboard.
Yeah, it knows the AC is coming or the DC is coming into the computer.
You can certainly bring it to somebody and have them check it, but fixing a laptop is not inexpensive at all.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
All righty then.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
I hate giving people bad news, but sometimes that's the only answer, you know. That is the problem with a laptop. They're wonderful devices. We all carry them. They're great, but when something goes wrong, it goes catastrophically wrong.
Oh, and that's what they're saying about these netbooks. At $200, $300 for a netbook, they're losing money selling them.
Yeah.
And they wish they weren't so popular.
Well, the interesting thing about this is, and I've said this before, this is the thing to carry around for me. You can't do a lot on it. I'm not going to do Second Life on it. I'm not going to do games on it. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. But for web browsing and email, and not a lot of either, but for that, you know, and for certainly doing a show like this, it is ideal because it is small, it is lightweight, and it is inexpensive. If, in fact, it does break or die, I've lost a couple of $100.
Yeah, you throw it away and buy a new one, which is unfortunate the environment and all that side of the question. Yeah.
Actually, what I would do is, depending on what went wrong, pull out the motherboard and make some other cool device.
Yeah, cannibalize it. And
exactly.
You get two or three that break differently.
Have fun with it.
But PC margins are so thin as it is now that the only way the PC industry makes money is on volume, selling 100 million machines a year. So the netbook margins are even smaller than the
But they're selling them by the hundreds of millions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we can lose money on each one, but we make it up in volume.
Well, that's, right. Now, if you're actually selling it below cost, you've got a problem.
Well, that's where we were talking last night in Second Life. You know, that's going to be the big thing coming this holiday is what are they going to do to spur interest to get the, you know, the people out and shopping and buying? Because a lot of, you know, retail stores, let's face it, really scared. I mean, really scared compared to even last year.
And yet I'm seeing a whole bunch of people on the net saying, hey, I bought my parents a netbook, a few hundred bucks, and all they want to do is email. They've got cameras in them so you can do Skype, so you can, you know, see your family and talk to your grandkids and all that other hoo-ha. And they're saying that's all they need. All they do is email, Skype, and a little web browsing.
Yeah. I've got two of
the
guys.
For them, it's perfect.
At the Locust Club. They both got into, a number of them have gotten into it. They go, this is the best thing since sliced bread. They can now go from meeting to meeting to meeting. They're not carrying around this huge notebook. The thing is small, it's compact, and it does everything they want.
This one gets about 4.5 hours of battery life. The Asuses get about 8, but they're a slower. That's the kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why the battery's longer, because it's not as heavy a processor.
Right. And so for, you know, 8-9 hours of battery life, I can go through my entire day full of meetings taking notes and be a happy little camper at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's what they're for. They're not for your general computing, but for this kind of stuff, they're terrific.
It is. And I mean, like you say, you got the internet, the wireless that they can, boom, quick pop in and pop out.
I've been telling you guys, you should be selling them.
Well, we've been getting a lot of them in for repair. I'm waiting for a couple of my distributors. Again.
Yeah, how do you repair a $200 computer and make money on it?
Well, and that's the problem. If I bring in a computer and you say it's going to cost me even $75.
Even if it's
a significant fraction of the cost.
And
say 40%.
Say the hardware is fine and, you know, something happened in the OS or you got a virus and we have to disinfect it. You're like $7,500 to fix it.
Right.
So erase it and start over.
Right.
Yeah.
And particularly with the ones that have solid state in them, it's not even like, you know, if you're going to change the hard drive because, your solid state drive died, that'll be $150. To put it in another solid state. The whole thing was only $200. Okay, get over it. So, I love my my netbook.
Well, that's the big rumors that Apple might announce next week is an iPod Touch with a 10-inch screen moving up into that netbook arena.
See, now that would be interesting.
Rather than shrinking a laptop, they're expanding the iPod, and next week at the developer conference.
Right, and that would be nice if it were also an e-book.
E-book reader. Yeah, there's some really cool e-book reader apps. You can get a Kindle app for the iPod.
Yep. So, yeah, it should be an interesting next few weeks. And, of course, we'll be reporting it to you here. Here on member-supported Jazz 901. We are going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. See, I'm trying not to blow out your machines
that
here.
That sounds so good to be back.
I know it. No kidding. I'm Nick Francesco, and this is member-supported Jazz 90.1. It's Soundbites. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay
tuned. Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of the 2009 Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Sally Kellerman is my guest this week.
I want a little sugar in my bowl.
From her new CD, Sally.
I want a little sweetness down in my soul.
This is like a renaissance for you, finally getting a disc out and
you know,
touring.
It is. I mean, you know, I've been putting shows together all along my film career and television and everything. Just have never, this passion for music just doesn't go away. You know, once it gets hold of you, you're just finished. I want a little steam on my clothes. Fix things up so they're... What's wonderful about this, I haven't arrived any place. What I've done is actualize something for myself. And I've worked with some wonderful producers, but I wasn't ready. You know, I was stubborn or I was fearful or, you know, I said I'd work with Barry Manilow and then Bobby Womack took me in the studio and did some stuff and I was in muscle shows with great guys and everything. And then I came back and I didn't know how to make anything happen, you know, so... I'm working with people now that seem to know what they're doing, which is a wonderful, wonderful idea. But
we're looking at kind of a third career. You were a singer, and then you did a lot of acting, and now you're back to singing.
Yeah, and I mean, as I said, I've been singing all along, but not so anybody'd know. And there was never anything that I thought was good enough to play or show anybody or tell, you know. And it's so exciting to have something I'm excited about and I'm proud of. And Val Garay, my producer, just... was amazing in the studio. He made the music better. He made us better. I loved his musical choices. You know, he worked with me hard. You know, I mean, I learned a lot doing it.
And you can hear it for yourself. Her new compact disc, Sally. Sally Kellerman is sitting in this week. More information is available. SittinInJazz.com.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Vaccination is the best way to stay protected against the flu. But with no vaccine available yet to fight the H1N1 flu virus, there are other steps you can take. Families Fighting Flu reminds you to cover your nose and mouth when you cough or sneeze. You can even cough into your elbow. Wash your hands with soap and water. Alcohol-based hand cleaners are also effective. And disinfect frequently touched surfaces with an appropriate bleach-based solution. Germs can spread by touching infected surfaces and then your face. For more, visit familiesfightingflu.org, a public service from Families Fighting Flu.
Jazz 90.1 is your one source of information for the annual Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, June 12th through 20th. Join Jazz 90.1 as we broadcast live each day from Jazz Street in downtown Rochester, just outside of Kilbourne Hall, between 4 and 8 p.m.
And we are live in downtown Rochester at the Rochester International Jazz Festival. I'm Rob Linton.
We'll have live artist interviews, giveaways, commentary, and much more.
We've got a line of special guests. Let's get right to it.
Yes, for you. My name is Esbjorn Svensson from EST.
My name is Dato James.
Dato James.
Jazz 90.1's Rob Linton and Derek Lucas bring you the most in-depth coverage of the RIJF each year live. From Jazz Street.
We're inviting folks to stop by. We have somebody who stopped by to become a member. We've had folks dropping in dollars to the Jazz Jar.
You can also stop by the Jazz 90.1 booth to meet on-air personalities from your favorite Jazz 90.1 programs and register to win great prizes. We'll see you on Jazz Street.
Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hour 2 of Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I need another microphone in here, I think. We need a fourth mic. And I'm Rob Linton.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
I got another mic in the car.
That's just funny.
If you got a jack, I got a mic.
Quietly nodding his head, and I'm going, hey, get out of my... And it's good to see nothing has changed. We still make fun of Rob, even Absolutely. When it's his station. That's not a problem for us. So Rob won't be here every week, though, because he'll want to sleep in on Saturdays because, you know, he's a young and active man. And
he'll probably be yelling and screaming at the radio.
No. I'll be here for the first couple of weeks with you guys, and then after that, it's kind of like, sending the child off to school for the first week. Here you go.
There you go. That's fine.
You're all set. So, yeah, I'll be here with you for
But you'll be lurking behind the bushes watching every minute. I know how that works.
Absolutely. I'll listen to the radio and I'll call the hotline and be like, Dave, what did he just say? You know?
Or Dave, you didn't play that promo.
That's right. You didn't do that right? No.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I remember the very first time we sent our daughter off to take the bus by herself. Elaine walked along with her. I finally grabbed my wife and pulled her off to the side. And I said, stand here behind this bush and watch her. Other than that, shut up, leave her alone. She's supposed to be, getting out on her own.
You know, I was going to ask you, too, how long have we all been together at this point? Do you have any idea?
None. Too long. Far too long. Far too long. Too long.
Well, it was...
5 years?
No, 7 years.
Yeah, December 2001 when we started at WAM.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was 21.
You were a puppy.
Yes.
You're still a puppy.
I kept telling you I had socks older than you.
I feel like about 60 now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, so Steve is still older than you, and he's thrilled that he's no longer the youngest in the room anymore. But
are you double my age?
I'm 29 now.
Yeah.
Wow, you're old.
Thank you.
Get the man a chair before he falls down dead. I'm 29 now. Shut up. We hate you. All right, before we get back to the phones, let me talk a little bit about what's going on in the world. The internet might just have gotten a little safer. The Federal Trade Commission has announced on Thursday that it had Pricevert LLC shut down by the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, San Jose Division. Pricevert is a San Jose, California-based internet service provider that allegedly recruits and intentionally and actively participates in the distribution of spam, child pornography, and other harmful electronic content. Now, see, what takes this out of the realm of meh for me is the child pornography. If it's just spam and stuff like that, they should arrest them. Yeah. If it's child pornography, they ought to snip them in public. Snip them in public, and I'll be the one holding the scissors. Okay. Generally, the commission files a complaint when it has reason to believe that the law has been or is being violated and appears to the commission that a proceeding is in the public interest. The court issues a temporary restraining order to prohibit Pricevert's illegal activities and required its upstream internet providers and data centers to cease providing services. Pricevert is now completely off the internet. The order also freezes Pricevert's assets. According to the FTC's complaint, Pricevert, which does business under a variety of names, including 3FN and APS Telecom, recruits and colludes with criminals seeking to distribute illegal, malicious, and harmful electronic content over the internet. The content reportedly includes child pornography, spyware, viruses, Trojan horses, phishings, botnet commands, control servers, and pornography featuring violence, bestiality, and incest. I don't know that they missed anything. Pricevert allegedly advertised its services via a forum established to facilitate communication between criminals. In addition, the company shielded its criminal clientele by either ignoring takedown requests issued by the online security community or shifting its criminal elements to other internet protocol addresses it controlled to evade detection, according to the FTC. The FTC also alleges that Pricevert engaged in the deployment and operation of botnets, large networks of computers that have been compromised. Transcripts of instant message logs filed with the district court show Pricevert senior employees discussing the configuration of botnets with bot herders, as they're called. In its filings with the district court, the FTC estimates that more than 4,500 malicious software programs are controlled by command and control servers hosted by 3FN. This malware includes programs capable of keystroke logging, password and data stealing, programs with hidden backdoor remote control activity, and programs involved in spam distribution. The court will hold a preliminary injunction hearing on June 15th. I am delighted and thrilled that this happened. The Federal Trade Commission took them all down, and in particular because of the child pornography, I hope they go to jail until they're dead.
I didn't know the FTC had jurisdiction over the Internet.
Apparently, they do.
It's probably over this company.
Right, because
who
it's
happens
trading,
to be an
right.
Internet company, yeah.
Right. So, but at any rate, I don't care why they had jurisdiction. I'm just delighted they did and took it down. It's the sort of thing that makes us all just a little bit safer. Now, that said, it doesn't necessarily mean that your computer is clean. If your computer was part of this botnet or had one of these viruses, it's still on there. It just can't call home anymore. You should still dance the security tango and see what you can do to clean your machine off and get it healthy again.
There was a really interesting, I guess, you know, case study coming through the courts. The BBC a few months ago bought a botnet on eBay. Only 20,000 machines in it, so it was a pretty small botnet. Didn't cost them very much.
Right.
They're doing a BBC documentary on how botnets work, and they set it up to spam themselves and a willing participant an email spam. And then those 20,000 machines, they put a message on their screen saying your computer's, you know, infested, you should probably have someone clean it out, and shut down the botnet. They are getting investigated by the government because they interfered with someone else's computer.
Right.
So they were trying to be helpful and say your computer's got a problem.
Right, if they just shut their mouths, it would have passed and nobody would have known which machines it was. Exactly. You know, there is one thing wrong now with being on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I don't have time to eat my donut anymore. I'm blaming you, Rob. This is entirely your fault. We had, 25, 30 minutes every hour to just fool around, do whatever we wanted to do, and now we're just here. We're on the air instead.
Yeah, that was always the thing about when I'm doing the podcast. We had a two-hour radio show that came out to 74 minutes of audio in
the
podcast.
Yeah, now you have a two-hour radio show that comes out to, 2 hours of audio.
Yeah.
Well, we want to try one more call.
And before you do, let me reannounce the numbers. We're at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415 here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Don't forget, those numbers are on the jazz901.org website and also on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Who have we got on the line?
Shirley from Webster.
Shirley, you jest.
No.
Welcome, Shirley. What's your question?
Yeah, glad you guys are back on the air.
Thanks, me too.
I'm working with a desktop HP. Now, don't laugh. It'll be 10 years old in November, so I'm going to be shopping for computers.
Yes,
soon.
You are.
But thanks to Roadrunner, I'm still up and alive. Should I be waiting until Windows 7 comes out?
Well, if you're planning on a brand new machine, one of the things, in fact, that was going to be my next... you've taken my thunder here, Shirley. Well, that was going to be my next news item. Microsoft says they will be offering a Windows 7 upgrade with Vista.
Yeah, I read that.
So if you buy a machine with Vista, but they were a little tricky as to what they were actually saying at this point. I don't know quite when it starts or what the deal is. They simply announced that at Computex 2009, which was just in Taipei, but basically what they're saying is if you buy a system with Windows Vista on it, you will have the ability to upgrade to Windows 7. Now, the devil is always in the details, right? Which versions of Vista do you have to buy to get this deal? Which versions of Windows 7 will you be able to upgrade to? When does it start? How do you become eligible? Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But...
So if I can stretch this
a little bit longer until the details become definite.
Okay.
That's probably your best bet. But a 10-year-old computer and it's still running, God bless you, Shirley. Yeah. Either you've taken magnificent care of this machine or you haven't turned it on in 6 years.
Oh, yeah. It runs out of well, and Dave's replaced the rewritable drive, and I can't say enough good things about Enright.
One of the things to keep in mind and prepare your budget for is you're likely going to have to buy all new software that will be compatible with at least Vista and Windows 7.
I know.
But we're seeing a lot of that, though. I mean, just like Shirley here, you know, I'm getting a lot of folks that are just wanting to make the computer run a little bit longer. Like I say,
It's running fine. Well, I don't want to.
And people are also beginning to look at some of the free alternatives to Microsoft products. Even if you stick with Windows 7, OpenOffice.org, as opposed to having to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars for Microsoft Office. Thunderbird instead of Outlook. Firefox instead of Internet Explorer are all free and also, generally speaking, safer because you don't have... They're not the same target that the other programs are for virus writers.
And there's kind of an interesting thing brewing now, especially in the Mac community, but you can get Windows 7, the beta, for free right now from Microsoft if you have a machine capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. And currently the plan is that that beta will run for a year before it stops. So what we're hearing on the Mac side is that you can get Sun's VirtualBox, which is a virtual machine program, for free, and you can get Windows 7 for free, and that will set you up for a year running Windows on your Mac if you ever need to have Windows on your Mac.
Right.
I have a laptop that's got XP on it. Now, is it okay to download the Service Pack 3 for that?
Yeah.
It's, well, and in general, yes, but there are still some issues with some drivers in SP3. Is it a name brand laptop or custom built?
Yeah, Toshiba.
Yeah, go on their website, and they will have specific recommendations about what drivers you may need to update before SP3.
One thing I've been noticing,
it's working fine.
Well, and right now you can still get security updates separate from SP3 because you want to keep installing those updates.
Yeah,
eventually,
I do just the critical ones. Yep. That Nick is.
Yeah, eventually Microsoft is going to require SP3 to get any new updates.
So definitely you want to check on the Toshiba website and find out how to download and install SP3 specifically for your model of laptop. And be very careful of that as well, right? I mean, because it may just be generic. They may just have one for everybody. But but make sure you look at that carefully because in many cases they actually have different versions with different drivers for different models of laptop.
Okay.
And the Satellite 2214 uses one driver, and the Satellite 2214U uses a different driver.
Exactly.
You got to double check too, because I run into a couple clients that have done the Service Pack 3 update, and the new Internet Explorer 8 has literally crashed their machine.
Yeah, IE 8 is now being pushed. It used to be optional. Now it's being pushed. You can uncheck it. If you get that notice about updates available, you can uncheck IE8 so you don't get IE8, but it's being pushed automatically now.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Shirley.
Good luck with your new show.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
Old show, new home, but we're very delighted to be here. Don't forget, those numbers are 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415. Here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Here's the other interesting thing about being on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm talking slower. On the old station, we only had 40 minutes of show, so I talk fast. Numbers of 4, 5, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Out of 2 hours, how much time did we actually wind up putting up on the web?
74 minutes on average.
An hour and 14 minutes.
So out of 120 minutes.
Yep. Right. We had 74, half of them.
Yeah.
A little more than half. But now it's 2 hours. 120 minutes, the show will be 120 minutes long. All you podcasters, it's going to take you a little longer to download and a little more space on your drives.
Yeah. And I was
Now I'm planning at least to still leave it in mono. Because it's a talk show.
It is a talk show.
And that will make it smaller. Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to hear Harry Legg's theme song, which, again, we should mention that. Harry is back joining us doing our theme songs in and out. Now we used
what
to
a set of pipes.
We used to have him back when we were on XXI.
Yep.
But now he's going to be doing all of our stuff, which, like you say, he's got the voice.
Yeah, he does.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he does. Great set of pipes. All right, before we go back to the phones, No?
Nope.
20 after.
Oh, it's 20 after. We're actually going to take a break. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple. See, this is me being slow again. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You are listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1, 966 Jazz. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415. Once again, thanks to the magnificent Rob Linton for putting us on the air. We've got another, 40 minutes to bring more sound bites your way. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 800-790-0415 or online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the U.S. Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
This is Devon. Join me every Monday night from 9 until midnight as I kick off Jazz Horizons right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
You know, you think somebody who's actually been in radio most of his adult life.
I know. What do you think of the stem music in the best head?
I'm loving all this stuff.
Jazz, you know what I mean? All right.
This is all good, and we are on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1, and very, very excited to be here. And well, ladies and gentlemen, I know you've been waiting forever, but it is that time once again. Yes, it's that time. It is time for Uncle Dave's Story Hour. So this is it, kiddies. Oh, I haven't said this in forever either. Put on your footy jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, and if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Huh?
Uncle Dave.
No. Well, you know, it's been a long time. Can I, you know, gotta get the bones going here.
I know, you've been Rip Van Winkling yourself here.
And oh, do I have some good stories. It's basically one that has really been festering me. One, I had a client come in and said, you know, my machine's reinfected. You know, I need you to really take a look at this. You know, it's really getting to, this is ridiculous. I said, well, you know, I just had it. Well, just wait, bring it on in, we'll take a look at it. All right. So Sam goes ahead and pulls out the paperwork. And we set it on the bench, and sure enough, look at it. He's got that special offer for the Super Anti-Spyware 2009 again, and they want to nail him $29.95 to get it off his machine. And you know, he had the whole list of it. And sure enough, it was there. So I go to double check the paperwork because he said, you know, it'd been in. Yeah, it had. 2 years ago.
It was just in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. If it was a day, I can't even guarantee a day. Let's face it. You know, once you walk out of the shop, you take it home, hook it up. All bets are off.
The reality is, if you're running Windows, you will get, and you're on the internet, you will get reinfected. It's not even a crapshoot. It will happen.
Yeah, we had one similar to that, too. It's a brand new computer. No, it's a year and a half old.
Yeah.
In computer terms, that's middle-aged.
Well, yeah, right. And then once we told him, I says, well, you know, it was 2 years ago. Well, shouldn't it still be covered? No. Bang head on wall.
Yeah, right. Not necessarily your head.
No, definitely not mine. I mean, hello. I mean, the tools were there. Did you run them? Well, I meant to.
Oh, good then.
Yeah, that's going to help you. Not very much. You know, if you don't take the time, I can't help. I can give you all the tools that you want, but if you're not going to do it, forget it. All bets are off. You know, end of game.
That's right. And the problem is people don't take responsibility for themselves. Most of our callers, you'll hear them say, oh, I dance the security tango, I do this, I do that. But a lot of people don't. They figure there's magic involved somewhere. You know, they get reminded to change the oil in their car, and they bring it in, and somebody does it twice a year. And they think, well, that's the way my computer should be. I'll bring it in twice a year, and I'll disinfect it, and it'll run fine. Wrong. The problem is you can get reinfected the very first time you go back on the internet, particularly if you're not careful about what you do and where you do it and how you do it. And consequently, there are a whole bunch of people who are out there who are infected and don't know it. I was out to supper with some friends the other night, and some guy stopped at my table and said, I got to ask you a quick question. My machine is great, but it just slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, well, what have you changed? Nothing. Has it been gradually? No, just all of a sudden got slower. Okay, I hate to tell you, but you're infected.
Yeah.
And you need to dance security tango. Well, I danced it. When? Just recently. Define recently. 6 months ago. Okay. Recently would have been now. You know, it just finished.
Or a few hours, yeah.
Or it's still going. That's how you know you're safe. Yeah, it's still, yeah. Yeah, that's how you know you're protected. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, you know, it depends on where you go and what you do and who you deal with and what you click on. We find people are clicking on stuff all over the place, whether they should be or not, and that's a real problem. Well, I just, you know, there was this great pictures of cats that I wanted to see or whatever that's all about. Well, you can't.
And a lot of it is inadvertent. I told a story last night. One of my customers was looking for Photoshop, thought she needed Photoshop for a project. So she Googles Photoshop, and the first hit is for a Photoshop free download. So she clicked on the link, paid her $70, thought she was downloading Photoshop. Turns out she was joining a service that will help her find software on the internet.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking
and,
about
that. And she wasn't actually down, because my first thought was Photoshop is a $700 program, so you didn't get it for $70 legally.
She didn't get it at all.
Didn't get it at all, yeah. When we went back and looked at the website, it does say all that. You're joining a service, here are your member benefits. But people don't read it close enough. They just, you know, click in and gave it her credit card number.
It happens. It happens a lot.
Yep. So read messages carefully.
All right, kiddies, that's it. Somebody hold Uncle Dave down. We'll give him a shot again.
I needed that.
You needed that.
Yes.
We'll give Uncle Dave a shot, and you kiddies put your cocoa mugs back in the sink. Get out of your footy jammies and back into your clothes, and we'll put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for another week. But be sure he will be back out again. I apologize. I was in the process of putting on my beautiful new Jazz 90.1 hat. Take Jazz further.
Absolutely. Listen, why not let people know too, Nick? I'm not sure if you gave the 800 number out, but we have a lot of people listening on the internet right now. Did you give the 800 number out?
I did. I always give out the 800 number.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to doubt you, but I'll give it away again.
68.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. 800-790-0415. Call and get on the line now. Ask your computer questions. We're doing well. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I like to hear. That's it. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415. We are member supported Jazz 90.1. We are Soundbites, part of the Jazz 901 family now, and it's very exciting. And of course, you can listen live at jazz901.org. You can find that link on our site.
I was trying to run a website called phonespell.org to figure out what the numbers in your phone number spell.
Jazz. They spell J.
Well, no, seven. No, that? No,
966 Jazz. That's 966-5299.
Right. The toll free number 790-0415 doesn't spell any words.
I'm sorry,
I'm doing the other number.
That's like this one over here saying, have you been giving out the number? Yes, every 4 minutes I've been giving out the
number. You're not listening to the show, are you?
Cheese and crackers. Pay some attention, somebody, anybody, anywhere, for anything.
Watch out, folks. He's the trained professional.
Holy. Yeah. It's like being the trained orangutan, I think, at this place. I'm not at all sure there's a difference. All right. Shall we do another phone call? Do we have somebody?
I'll tell you what. Why don't we try some of the
questions? Here we go.
We got a bunch of email here that we've been...
Holding this email, so let's read one. Tom from Rochester, New York, is running Windows XP over a gig of RAM. While shopping for a digital camera online, I ended up with the WinPC antivirus Trojan horse on my machine. I immediately recognized that the screens popping up were not legitimate and didn't click on their offer to fix all the supposed security problems. After a little research, your site was the first I thought to visit. I see that this virus has been around for a while, but I also saw recent information regarding the virus. I'm currently running Norton Internet Security on my machine. Norton never caught the spyware download, and even on full system scan did not detect the virus. I contacted Norton and asked them to explain. They indicated that they must have allowed the program to be downloaded. When asked why their program didn't detect the virus once it had been downloaded, they didn't give me a straight answer either. Instead, they offered to have one of their technicians remove the virus from my machine for $99.99. We are in the wrong business. Unwilling to spend $99.99, I did some research. I saw Super Anti-Spyware Personal Edition mentioned on your website, so I downloaded and ran the program. It found the virus and got rid of it. I also downloaded the free scan from SpySweeper. The scan from that program also came up clean. At this point, I'm having no problems. No pop-ups and scan shows nothing other than a few tracking cookies. Some questions. Is there a chance that there is something lurking behind the scenes that these programs have not detected? In other words, is it safe to go back out there? Should I also be checking directories and the registry values for WinPC antivirus files and procedures? What's up with Norton? Are they serious that their anti-spyware doesn't detect a well-known program? Should I pitch Norton and go with something else? My sister asked why I'm not using the CA antivirus program free to Roadrunner customers. Should I have a dedicated anti-spyware program running alongside another antivirus package? Well, that's a lot of questions all at once, Tom. But let me
and
say
the short
this.
Answer is yes.
Short answer is yes. There is a chance that there's something lurking behind the scenes. That's why I made the Security Tango at securitytango.com so that you will go there and run all of that stuff. At once, you should probably check the registries and directories for the WinPC stuff. And you only need to do that once. If they're not there, they're not there. Norton is an excellent program, but if you haven't been updating it regularly, Norton, you remember, is a paid product. So unless you have recently paid, then you are not, in fact, covered. For that product.
And
so
they must not have been if Norton wanted to charge him money.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly. So you can either pay for Norton or you can use the CA antivirus program, which is free to you. And in addition, or rather, you can also look at a lot of the programs that are up on the Security Tango website. As to having a dedicated anti-spyware program, if your machine is fast enough, you certainly can. But running an anti-spyware program once every day or once every hour or whatever you want to do is really more than enough.
And running multiple programs, one of the things we suggest in the Security Tango, multiple programs that sort of overlap, help. Because Norton and McAfee are the known quantities in the antivirus world, most authors won't release the viruses until it gets past Norton and McAfee. So running other programs like Super Anti-Spyware and Malwarebytes, and then the subtle distinction between what's a virus, what's a Trojan, what's malicious software, it's such a huge mess that no one program can do it all.
No, they can't.
Right, right. So there's your answer, Tom. Answers, Tom. So let's go back to the phones now. Who have we got on the line?
John in Scottsville.
John, welcome. What's your question? John, are you there? John?
Hello, John.
John?
8, 7,
John is apparently doing
6,
the dishes.
5, 4.
So I think we'll skip John now. But thank you, John, for having played. There are no consolation prizes. You just get to have all of your friends calling you up and saying, you idiot, you're on the line, you're, what are you doing? So we'll be done with that, and we'll just go to another email question. That'll probably be best. Hold on. Oh, I can go? Thank you. I'm trying to pay attention to the guy actually running the board as he says things, and apparently he's not talking to me. He's talking to himself. It's like Poppy over there. Hold on. Oh, no, go ahead. Okay. Steve from New York, New York. A hell of a town. Oh, no, the Bronx is up, the battery's down. People right around in the hole in the ground, New York, New York. It's a hell of a town. All right.
Try that again. John did call back.
Oh, well, I'm in the middle of Steve now. John can wait. go. Listen, John, as long as you're listening, go do a few more dishes, but pay attention to the phone a little bit here. We're in the middle of Steve from New York, New York. From New York, New York. Yo.
Yo.
Yo, I don't understand. This is a guy who wants to be on the BBS. I don't know. This is actually for you. All right, so let's go to John.
Okay, let's do it.
John, okay, are you there?
It's Don. That's why I didn't answer. I didn't answer to John. I'm Don.
Oh, Don.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's Steve's fault. John, too, no, that's... because he was apparently ahead of me in line, and he wasn't answering.
He wasn't. You were laughing at him, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Only we could do it. I should say me.
You have to forgive Dave. He's old now, and if it takes more than 8 seconds for him to go from writing down the name to saying the name, he loses track.
Well, the thing that is, too, is I got to pull out the earpiece, make sure I turn off my mic so it doesn't go over the air on who I'm talking to.
Right.
And I'm trying to talk very softly and, you know, listen also.
Yep.
And it's entertaining.
All right, Don, where are you calling from?
Scottsville.
Scottsville. What's your question?
Here it is. Okay, I have a zone alarm. I have AVG. I have super anti spyware. Should I also have LavaSoft, Adware by LavaSoft, and SpyBot, or not them?
What we're recommending, as far as our shop goes, is the zone alarm for the firewall, AVG, or Avast. I like both.
Yep.
Super anti spyware, Malwarebytes. And the other fifth program that I would throw on there is Revo.
Oh, I already have Revo also.
That's the package.
Okay, Malwarebytes. So you're not using the LavaSoft, Adware, or the SpyBot anymore.
Well, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I still recommend them as part of the Security Tango. I realize they take a while to run.
Yep.
But the point is, I'm a belt and suspenders kind of guy. You don't want to run them in the background or run them all the time, but when you're actually dancing the tango, they should be part of what you run. Because the more of that stuff you run, the less chance there is you'll miss something.
Yeah, and that's what we mentioned a little earlier. Running more than one program will catch things the other programs might have missed.
Right. You don't want it running in the background all the time. That just steals your cycles, and at that point, it is kind of redundant.
Wait, which one don't run in background?
Adware or SpyBot.
Okay, very good. Okay.
But having them on your machine and running them regularly as part of the Security Tango is really a very, very good idea.
Unless you have a Quad Xeon with 8 gigs of RAM and won't miss a few cycles.
Yeah, exactly.
And then bring it over to the shop so we can test it for you for a while.
For a couple of years, yeah, exactly.
All right, that sounds good. Okay, I just want to make sure, because we keep getting all these things that we're supposed to add on pretty soon. That's all I have on there, and it'll run nothing else.
Yeah, well, as Dave said, run those, including Malwarebytes and stuff. And
I've noticed anti-spyware seems to be very, very effective. And
it is.
Malwarebytes, I haven't loaded yet. But
malicious.
Viruses
are almost on the downturn.
Yeah, well,
because
they don't have money on them.
Yeah, there's not as much money on them, and viruses usually propagate through email, and the email providers, internet providers, are scanning for viruses before they pass email along. So it's more the malicious software and fake ads that try to steal your money.
Yep.
That's what they're trying to do now. It's not bragging rights anymore. It's steal your money.
Yep.
The other thing I've noticed that on all the sites now, they all have videos.
Yeah.
And it's slowing our machines down like crazy.
Yep. Yeah, and that's where we run into go back to the $299 netbooks. You know, probably doesn't have that beefy a video card, so running all that Flash animation or Adobe Air or Microsoft Silverlight. Yeah, I just want to get on the internet means so many different things.
Right.
What?
But yeah, run those things and you should be okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right, Don, thanks. And of course, every one of those sites that you go to that has its videos and audios and stuff like that, that takes up that fills up your system closer to your cap.
A couple weeks ago, we got to play with a brand new i7 chip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. You don't need it, and you know you don't need it, but you want it, and you know you want it.
Yes, it was a brand new chip. We loaded it up with 8 gig of memory. We had the new Crossfire NVIDIA 1 meg video card.
Oh, yeah. 1 gig video card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I was trying to justify it, but the wife
is smart.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You married the smart one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, mine, too. She gave me the third degree before I bought my netbook. Then I said, well, it's only a couple hundred bucks. She said, oh, yeah, all right, then.
It's for
keep
work.
Keep you happy for a year. Go ahead.
Yeah, you couldn't get work to pay for it? I need one of these to test with, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can even do a better sale. A lot better chances than trying to go against the wife.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, and why do we need this?
Yeah, right. There's no we about this, honey. This is me. I want this. All right. We're going to take another very short break. All the breaks are very short here, and that's kind of exciting and problematic.
And I like some of the music that you picked for the background there.
This is all good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. And then we're right back with Dave Enright and Steve Ray and Rob Linton and me, Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites. You are listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1. Show the love. Join.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you underwrite the programming of Jazz 90.1, you make your business known to people who enjoy jazz as much as you do. Your on-air message is short and tasteful, making it easy to remember, with basic information about your business, including how to reach you. Underwriting is economical, too. To find out more about underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Refined crowds, posh settings, gourmet food and drink. You can find that anywhere. But when you join the Smart Set, you get to tickle the underbelly of the Rochester swing scene as we broadcast live from the hepest night spots. The Kowtow Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Jitterbug Coffee Bar, and the Blue Buddha Lounge at the Tiki Village Motor Inn. Experience them all from the safety of your own radio. So join me, Charles Benoit, every Saturday night from 5 to 6 for the Smart Set, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Sunday evening. Join me, Derek Lucas, for The Spectrum, where we find the mysterious side of jazz. Music to move your mind, body, soul, spirit, as well as help you do your homework. Every Sunday evening, 10 o'clock, here on Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, welcome back to Ugly Radio on Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
Ooh, that was almost good. He spun it right around like
that. Yeah, good.
Nice. I'm Rob Linton.
And we are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We promised you Ugly Radio, and holy cow, are we delivering.
But, you know, I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was.
Well, it's certainly not bad for us. We're just sitting here. Dave's doing all the work.
But
finally.
Thank you.
Oh, I mean... It's very exciting. Dave used to sit over at the old station just going through his car forums, and every once in a while he'd wake up for a call. But
now he's
actually working for a while, and poor Steve, he can only go to certain sites and can't go to certain other sites.
Well, he's blocked from all the others.
I couldn't get to YouTube to test out.
Yeah, it stinks to be you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you're not. See, I'm putting in the websites. Are you typing in the calls?
I am.
All right. And then, see, Dave sitting between us did nothing.
And now I love
he was looking up cars. Remember how long he looked up his car?
That's what I'm saying. He used to be on this thing, and every once in a while I have to go, Dave. We got another call, Dave. Oh, and he switch over to the other. And he get porky about it. And he switch over to the other screen so we could see what the call was. Now he's got to do it, and we're loving this. This works for me. I'm telling you right now, Rob. Good job. All right. Let me do this news item here. A bunch of states. This is going to stink on ice. A bunch of states have been pushing forward with plans to add taxes on digital downloads. The state of Washington apparently passed such a law, which is scheduled to go into effect on July 26th.
I think California also did, too.
Under a strict reading of the details of the bill, you could see how the state could go after unauthorized downloaders as tax evaders. Now, that may not be the case, but it seems like this is the most likely explanation to this from one of the Q&As about the bill. The question was, what is the value of the digital product for use tax purposes? The answer is, the value is the purchase price of the digital product. If the digital product is acquired by means other than a purchase, the value of the digital product is determined by the retail selling price of a similar digital product. From that, you can easily conclude that anyone in Washington who downloads unauthorized files is now expected to pay a tax based on the retail selling price of the files. And from there, it's not hard to see how failing to pay such a tax could eventually be seen as tax evasion. How excited do you think this makes the RIAA? Remember, this is the same RIAA that suggested the feds use copyright infringement laws to arrest drug dealers.
Well, that's
I'm not
how
sure
they,
how that worked. But
that's how they got the early mobsters, is on tax evasion.
That's how they got Al Capone. Yep. They couldn't get him on anything else. They got him in tax evasion charges. So the big question is, are the file downloaders next? So if you're sharing files, be prepared to declare it for your taxes.
Mississippi also taxing digital downloads.
Yep.
So, while New York here tried to go after Amazon affiliates, right now most of the tax sales tax laws are if you have a physical presence in that state, you're required to collect taxes. So like the iTunes store, they collect taxes when you buy iTunes music because Apple has retail outlets in every state.
Right.
But Amazon doesn't. But Amazon has affiliates. You know, you can join the Amazon affiliate service, and then you get money when someone buys books on your
affiliate.
Yeah,
I'm an Amazon affiliate. I never get money.
Yeah. Well, what the New York State was trying to do is they were considering that to be a New York
presence
in New York, and starting to require Amazon to collect taxes.
Yeah.
And that hasn't gone through yet.
No, but it's on its way.
So Amazon's response was, okay, we'll cancel all our New York affiliates.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that to happen. Thank you, New York State. All right, do we have another caller?
Yep, we got Tom from Rochester.
Tom, welcome to Soundbites. What's your question?
Oh, my phone is just breaking off. I'm sorry.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry about that, too.
Yep. His phone is broken up, and so we cannot talk to him. Let me give you the numbers again so that if you have a phone that works, you can actually call in. The number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Those are the numbers by which you can reach us at our news station, member-supported, Jazz 901. And our next caller
is going to be Ron from Baltimore.
Baltimore, Maryland, or Baltimore, New York?
Hold on. If I didn't mess
Baltimore,
that up.
Maryland.
Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome, Ron.
Yes, long-time listener for 10 years.
That's what I like to hear.
I got to call you, and I just want to mention I'm using a magic jack to call you.
Cool.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, we've started selling those. It is magic, and it really works. It's one of those that's too good to be true.
I noticed that through the times. I got it. I just renewed it for a year. The software has gotten better, and the sound quality has improved. And that, the second year, as you might or might not know, it's $19. After you bought the device the first year, it was $39
yep.
plus the other thing. But my question is specifically is we have QuickBooks, and we have QuickBooks Pro 2007, and we just upgraded to 2009. And when we did the migration from 2006 to 2007, it was no problem. But the 2009, and like many places, we put the data information on the server and then use the client machines in order to communicate with it. And we've been having quite a bit of problem. My question is, and I have a gentleman that's doing it, but I think where he's going wrong is you have to put, he's trying to leave 2007 on the server and keep the new version of 2009 on the clients. And we're getting an error, and I was trying to say to him, in your opinion, is that you have to put the new version of 2009 on the server to match up with the client.
Yeah, that's
change the permissions.
That's almost always true. Yeah,
you've got to first set it up with the newer version. It started, I believe, with 2008. It's got to be on the server, and then from there, then you will then go
migrate.
Each workstation goes around, and you've got to point it to that, because there's another. Almost like server client that they've got.
Server software running on that PC.
Yep.
So what a lot of people who want to keep the old version running for a while to make sure it works before they get rid of it, you have to put it on a physically different computer.
Well, I think what you can do, and I'm not sure, at least in the documentation, you can actually put it in a different folder on the server, and you can run them coincident as long as you put them in different location directory.
Right, so but you can't. You got to be very careful about doing that.
You're going to want to do it. I'm sorry.
Right, the server software itself is likely the same name, so you may not be able to run two instances of the server software.
And I think you're right, because I think in the older versions, you could get away with leasing the older version on the server. To me, it
right.
seems like they're working reverse.
Well,
they're
it
working
used,
from the client, working then to the
yeah,
server.
It used
I think
to,
it should be working to the server and back to the client.
Right.
That's the way
right.
it should work.
It
yeah.
used to be the Quicken file was just a file on your server, and it used file sharing to access mm-hmm. it, so it didn't matter. Now, I think it started with 2007, Quicken actually has a server program that runs
right.
on your server.
Right.
And you
right,
can't mix.
A database server and it
right.
scans the folders.
Yeah, because
yep.
it's also verifying the licenses.
Yep.
Right.
So you can't mix server versions on one computer.
Right. So the way you do it is you have to upgrade the server
first,
then upgrade the clients before
right.
anybody accesses the data.
Right. Because if somebody does it during the course of it, it screws up the installation.
Yeah, and you get that error message that this data was opened with a newer version than yours and.
The common error I'm getting, which I think is because he's trying to do the old-fashioned way, is the TLG file, which is the transaction log file, which basically keeps a record of all the entries that have been changed from the last time someone went on. It's doing a transaction log file mismatch, which is part of this new environment where you have to do it the way you're saying.
Yep.
And so that was rather interesting. And another side note, other than, and I think also another thing is it's more sensitive that you have to re-grant the permissions when you load the new one. I think you have to re-go through that whole thing where you give permission to the users that are getting into it to re-grant them so that they can change the file.
Right.
Okay.
Right, because
well,
it's a whole new application.
What?
Then.
What?
Yeah.
And as always, you know, sometimes the expert that comes in doesn't always know the person that's working with it day to day.
Right, exactly.
And although I don't have the training, I happen to be an IT person at a little law office, and I've learned by doing I actually was originally a Mac man. And
yep.
I didn't touch Windows, so I started work. And
right.
If you have room for one more question or an opinion, if you have time.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have, like everybody, kind of the theme of your show, I got a netbook, an Asus EEE 1000, and I love it because my whole intent was for a second computer, and I didn't want to spend $1,000 for a Mac, and I love it. And I wanted to know what your opinion was or how you saw that Zandros itineration called Presto PC. Which you download? Have you?
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't played with that one yet. I have a Lenovo S10e, and the first thing I did was entirely remove Windows and put Ubuntu on it. But particularly for the EEE PC, there are a half a dozen Linux distributions that are specifically for the EEE PC, and all the drivers are there, and everything works perfectly. There's Pup EEE PC. There's Ubuntu EEE. There's just a dozen of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the EEE PC 1000. I have a friend who has one, and she loves it, and it works great. And I'm very, very impressed by it.
Yeah, one thing that I like, two things. One, initially I had the same issue you're talking about. When I first did one iteration of Linux or one, you know, distribution, it didn't see the network card,
right.
the wireless card thing. And the one thing I liked about Presto is that it went right off the bat. It recognized the wireless built into the EEE with no
right.
problems.
Right,
and
that's
was one of my major issues. I actually had to use, for a little while when I was using another form of Linux, I had to use a USB card and
right.
abandon, you know, the one which kind of made it a little senseless. So
right.
I was happy to get Presto PC. They have a 7-day trial, and I'm not, you know, trying to advertise for them. You pay, I think it's like $19, and you get it forever.
Right. Well, I was very lucky. The Ubuntu, I installed Ubuntu on this Lenovo, and it picked up everything. But I have had people who had a lot of problems with the EEE PCs because they have proprietary drivers.
Don't they have a Theros cards in them?
Yeah, I think so. But it's an odd set of things, and you need the right set of drivers. So if you have one of these EEE PCs and you get a download that a distribution that actually is designed for the EPC, then that's you know, a marriage made in heaven right there, and that's the way you should do it. Good for you.
You probably know. One thing I liked about it was easy to add. I upgraded the memory and bought, you know, the extra one you know, upped it to the next gig to give it 2 gig of memory.
Right. And now you carry it around. How many hours do you get on your battery?
But depending on what I run, I'm running usually around 4 and up.
Yep. Yeah, I get
There's
4.5 on
like.
This thing.
I mean, I'm used to an old Hog laptop that I was running, an old Dell Inspiron 1100, which the battery has since died, and it's just basically a plug-in.
Right. So you just had to carry it around.
And
plug
again,
it in
I'm like everybody else. Do you pay for the battery and one of the speakers are out to fix it? Costs more than me getting, you know, a brand new laptop.
Yep. The only upgrade I might make to a netbook, and I did it with this Lenovo, was I bought the 6-cell battery, so I get a longer battery life.
Mine came with the 6.
Yeah. But, you know, more memory. And, of course, I've got a real hard drive in mine as opposed to the...
That's what I got. I got a hard drive, too. It came with 160.
That's why you only have 4.5 hours of battery life instead of 8.
Well, that's okay.
I'm in the same boat.
Saying, but that solid state, I'm okay. Well, I can live with that limitation.
Yeah, me too. I don't have a problem with that. I still get 4.5 hours of battery life. I've had this thing up for 2 hours, and I've still got 2.5 hours of battery left in it. So I'm.
Don't you think people, wherever you go, people are like, they say, "Hey, let me look at that."
I love that TV commercial out where the guy's got the little tiny netbook and the woman with the giant laptop. Ooh, isn't that cute?
Yeah. Well, and that's right. People want to see it. They want to play with it. They're excited that it's got a battery in it and everything else. So it's actually a pretty cool deal all the way around. We're pretty
pleased.
Yeah, my
only negative, I guess, is, the video, when you're doing streaming video, it's a little choppy here and there, but most of the stuff.
Yep. All right, that music means you're done, Ron. Thanks so much for calling in.
Means we're done.
And we're done, too. This is an historic moment. It is the end of our very first...
Yeah, where'd the dance club come from?
That's very nice.
Nice music.
But we're very happy. We're thrilled to be on member-supported Jazz 901. Again, I want to thank Rob Linton, and all the folks at Jazz 901 for giving us this time and this opportunity. We will be here every single week. So make sure that you join us. Tell all your friends. Tell all your enemies. We'll make them into friends. And we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and even Rob Linton on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 901. Thanks. Bye-bye.